All right, Rabbi Osai, good morning. Let's begin. Let's begin. Today's daf is Memchas 48. We are picking up. We got to the Mishnah yesterday, Baruch Hashem. We are picking up at the top of Memchas. Shalosh Asherosim. Rabbi Osai, there are three different types of Asheros. Now, we're going to define what this means. The Mishnah says three different categories of, or three different ways in which trees become forbidden. Three different Asheros. Number one, Ilan Shenotu. If the tree was initially planted for the sake of Avodas Kochavim, the tree was originally planted for idolatrous purposes, then ultimately, again, the tree is Asur. Gido upislo l'shem Avodas Kochavim. So Gido means the tree was pruned, or pislo means it was trimmed for Avodah Zarah purposes. And as we're both saying, in this case over here, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Gido, Ovid Kochavim, O Yisrael, Avodah Kochavim, Mitzarech Avodah Kochavim, Lavod HaGidulin, Shigadlo Bameata. The idea over here, in category number two, is a case where I'm taking a tree, which was, we'll see in the Gemara, was originally planted for regular purposes, in other words, regular tree purposes, Memchas. Regular tree, what's wrong? Good. I've gotten the green light by the Dafyomi Commission to continue. Second category was I took a tree, and we will go ahead. We will see exactly this case, but I'll just give you. I'll give you the case. The case is where the tree was planted for stamp purposes as a regular tree. Then what happens? A person trims the tree or prunes the tree with the intention of worshiping the tree, turning the tree into an Avodah Zarah. So meaning they're cleaning up the tree, and the tree is going to be worshipped from here on in. So the halacha is vehechlif, and then the tree grows, has additional growth. Notel mashehechlif. Ultimately, again, I've also said the only part of the tree that is forbidden is the new growth. Again, we're going to qualify this more in the Gemara. What the Mishnah seems to be saying is only that it's forbidden is the new growth. So therefore, for example, if you wanted to go ahead and make the tree permitted again, Thank you. Is this yours? Okay, thank you so much. So if I wanted to go ahead and make the tree permitted again, so ultimately, again, all I have to do is to remove that which grew after the pruning and after the trimming, and the ikar tree would once again be permitted. If a person goes ahead and places an idol underneath the tree, so the Gemara says, and then you remove the idol, the tree is permitted. So we'll say this third case seems to be, as long as the idol stands under the tree will be prohibited, but once the idol is removed from underneath the tree once again becomes permitted. So we'll say, these are our three categories of Asherah. Category number one is the tree is planted from the beginning for Avodah Zarah purposes. The tree is Asur. Case number two is the tree was planted for permitted purposes, but was pruned or trimmed for the sake of Avodah Zarah, which we're going to understand means that the person's intention is now to begin to worship it from this point on, in which case only that which grows after the pruning and trimming will be Asur, and therefore if you take away the new growth, the old tree reverts back to its permitted status. And case number three is an idol under which a pestle is stationed. And when the idol is there, so the tree is Asur. Once the idol is removed, the tree becomes Mutar. Says the Gemara. Amrit Dvei Rabbi Yanai. Shabbosai, in the Yeshiva Rabbi Yanai, they gave the following qualification. Vahu shehevrich veherkiv begufo shel ilam. This is only true. The Mishnah statement is only true. And again, we'll qualify this in just a moment. Shehivrich, Rabbi Osei, hivrich literally means layered, or herkiv means pruned. So only if you layered or you pruned with the, what this means over here is as follows. Herkiv, if you look at Rashi, hivrich and herkiv means, beguf, I should say, really means grafted. Right? The idea over here is, Rabbi Yanai seems to be saying, the only time the tree becomes permitted is if you went ahead and you layered or you grafted the actual tree. So what does that mean? Vahanan, gido upis lotanan, but 1 second. Our Mishnah says, Rabbi Osai, that if you have a tree that was planted for permitted purposes, and then you prune it or you trim it, then the new growth becomes prohibited. Why does Rabbi Yanai bring down anything about layering or prune or grafting? Says the Gemara, Eliki itmar Rabbi Yanai le'inyan bitl itmar. Oh, Bosar Rabbi Yana's statement actually does not apply to transforming something into Avodah Zarah. Rather, it refers ultimately to going ahead and being Mevakla Avodah Zarah. How so? The Afal Gav, the Hivrich Vihirkiv Begufo Shal Ilan, Kinotol Mashehichlif Shapir Dami. Bosar, listen to this. What Rabbi Yana is coming to add is as follows. From the Mishnah, what do I learn? From the Mishnah, I learn the following case. I have a tree. We'll call it a stam tree. When I say stam tree, what does that mean? That means that halacha lemaisa, again, the tree was planted for permitted purposes. Now, what do I do? What's the Mishnah's case? I trimmed it or I pruned it for the sake of Avodah Zarah. What that means is that now from Mikano Lahaba going forward, this is going to be an Avodah Zarah tree. So whatever grows from this point and on will be usur. If I want the tree to revert back to its permitted status, what do? Just remove the new growths, however you measure that. If you remove the new growths, ultimately, again, you can go, the tree reverts back to its permitted status. Rabbi Yana is coming to include some of those. Rabbi Yana says, not only that, but even if you grafted this tree, or even if Rabbi Yana did what's called layering. Layering is this process, we saw some Maseches Makos, or let's say you take a branch, you go ahead and you take the tip of the branch, you bend it into the ground, you embed it in the soil. What then happens is the branch takes root in the soil. Once those roots are established, what do? You snip it in the middle. So what you do is essentially you get another sapling from the same tree. What Rabbi Yana is coming to say is as follows. His illustration works better with the grafting case. Even if I took stam a tree and I grafted it l'shem avodah zarah, Rabbi Yana says, still all I have to do is what? If I want it to revert back. So obviously, whatever grows from the grafting will be prohibited. But if I want the tree to revert back to its original permitted status, what do I have to do? Just remove the chelik that's been grafted. Why is that a chiddush? Ma'od teima, given the hivrich v'herki begufo shal ilan, ki ilan shenato mitchila dami v'litzar kula. So you'll say, I might have thought that once you start getting into grafting, so what happens with grafting and with layering? You're mamish manipulating the ikar of the tree. You're manipulating the tree itself. I would have thought that once you start manipulating the tree itself for the purpose of what? For the purpose of going ahead and turning it into Avodah Zarah, I might have thought that then that becomes a tree that was what? Planted for the purpose of Avodah Zarah Mitrila. And therefore the entire tree, should become Asur. Kamash Molan Rabbi Yana teaches us that is not the case. Shabbos Rabbi Yana just built on the Mishnah. Not only is it if you prune or if you trim the tree for the sake of Avodah Zarah that any new growths are going to be Asur, but even if you graft the tree, l'shem Avodah Zarah, only the graft and any additional growths will be Asur. If you were to remove the grafting, I don't know if that's the right lashon, but you understand what I mean. If you were to remove the grafting and any additional growth, the tree will still become mutter. Even though, again, you've actively manipulated the actual tree itself, the tree is not transformed into a tree that was planted initially for Avodah Zarah. Beautiful. Amr Shmuel. Listen to this. Hamishtachav le'ilon. So we'll say somebody bows down to a tree. So this is Mamish just the case of somebody who worships a tree. So Tosfasa Asura. Any additional growth, so I will say from the time you bow down, anything that grows post-bowing, will be Asr. Masiv Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar is the kasha. One second. That's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says, Gido upislo la'avodas kochavim vehechlif, nota mashehechlif. So we'll say, comes along Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar says, one second. The Mishnah says that if you have a tree that was planted for not Avodah Zarah purposes, i.e. just a plain, regular tree, in order to transform it into an Achevta Avodah Zarah, what do you have to do? You have to do a Maisa. It sounds like over here that you have to trim it or you have to prune it. And then after you trim it or prune it for Avodah Zarah, then whatever grows from there is going to be Asr Mashiach, Gido Upislo in, Lo Gido Upislo lo. So what Rabbi Elazar is trying to say is as follows. The Mishnah Dafka seems to be saying that just stand bowing down to a tree doesn't do anything. It's only if you do a Maisa, like pruning or like trimming the tree, for the sake of Avodah Zarah, even then Rabbi said only that which grows after the pruning and trimming becomes Avodah Zarah. But just stamp bowing down to it does not transform it into Avodah Zarah. To which the Gemara says, Shmuel will say the following, Hamani, Ushamani, Rabbanani. So Rabbi said, listen to this, Shmuel will say, you're right, that is the Mishnah's opinion. And Rabbi said, This is going back to the sugi we had a few days ago. So, and that's the opinion of the Rabbanon. But say, what did the Rabbanon hold? The Rabbanon hold that a tree that was initially planted for regular purposes cannot be transformed into an avodah zarah tree, an asherah tree, through simple worship. Look at Rashi. Hamani Rabbanani depligi alei Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda va'armi ilan shnatu lebasof avdu mutter. The Rabbanon hold that if you have a tree planted for regular tree purposes and then was subsequently worshipped, it remains mutter. Hilchach begido pislo havi kinatu mitchil lekach. The Mishnah reflects the view of the Rabbanon. The Rabbanon hold that when you plant a tree for regular purposes and then worship it, it does not transform it into an Asherah tree. The only time you can transform an originally permitted tree is when, is if you were to engage in an act of pruning or trimming, gido pislo, then anything that grows from that point and on is going to be aser. Now why? Because according to Rabbanon, the act of pruning or trimming the tree is like what? It's like replanting it. Once you replant it, but again, only the replanting still only answers what? That which grows, the addition. The ikr will still be permitted. Ushmuel da amar Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda. Shmuel holds, on the other hand, like Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda, was Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda, say, da amar, ilan shnatu lebasof, avdu aser. But Shmuel, on the other hand, holds that if you have a tree that was initially planted for permitted purposes, but you subsequently worshipped it, that the tree itself can become aser. So I will say, therefore, again, according to Shmuel's logic, even if you were to just stand, bow down to a tree, right? Bow down to a tree. Even if you didn't do the pruning or the trimming, the tree itself would still become aser. Maskev l'Ravashi, so 1 second, Ravashi is 1 second. How do you know that the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, are arguing about Tosefes, about the new part that grows on the tree after worship? So you're both saying, well, the way we just set this up over here, according to Shmuel, is that the Machlokes Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda is in a case of ultimately where you come to a tree that was planted originally for just stump tree purposes, was permitted, you bow down to it. You bow down to it. Then what happens, Rabbi Yosei? Sounds like over here, Rabbi Yosei Yehuda says, anything that grows additionally will be aser. The Rabbanon will say, no, it will be mutter. The only case the Rabbanon will agree is when what? Is when you prune or you trim the tree. You did a maisa, which is like the replanting of the tree. So I know they're arguing in Tosefes. Dilma, Tosefes, a divrei akol aser, ubi ikaro pligi. Rabbi Yosei, listen to this dramatic, dramatic suggestion. Maybe, everyone agrees that if you bow down to the tree, whatever grows post-bowing will be aser. Maybe the machlokes Rabbi Yosi between Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon is what is the status of the ikar of the tree, right? What is the status ultimately, again, of the primary tree after you bow down to it? Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda savar ikaro nami aser. Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda will say that after you bow down to it, the entire tree becomes aser. Where do we know this? From Dichsiv, Vashareyem Tisrafun Ba'esh, because the Pasuk says, their asheros, what's in Ashreim is plural. It's plural. Their asheros you shall destroy by the fire. So if you look at Rashi, we'll say right across in Rashi, Dechsev Ashreim Tisrafun, Ashreim Trey Mashmo, Chad Lenatua Mitchil Lakach, Vekat Lenatua Lebasof Abdu. We'll say in Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda's model, two asheros are referred to. What are the two asheros? One is an ashera that was originally planted in the Shem Asherah, and one was an Asherah, that's what? That was planted for stamp purposes, and then subsequently worshipped. But according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, when you worship it, you transform the entire tree into an Asherah tree. But Rabbanan will say, Iker Ilan Shari. The Rabbanan will say, no. If you have a tree originally planted for permitted purposes, and then what? You subsequently worship it. So I will say, so again, it's only the Tosefes, the new growth, post-bowing growth, that will become aser, but ultimately, again, the ikar tree remains permitted. Dechsev vashareim tiga deun. You shall cut down the asheris. Ezuhi ilan shegido aser vi karoshari. We'll say, what is the tree ultimately, again, where that which you cut off it will be aser, but the ikar tree remains permitted? So the Gemara says, havi omer ilan shenato lebasof avdu. I would say that refers to a tree that was planted for permitted purposes, but ultimately was subsequently worshipped. Vichiteima hadlo metartzinar haki. So Gemara says, 1 second, why didn't you bring up this piece of information when we had this machlokes earlier, Abosai, anach mem gimel amad beis? from the Gemara is Mem Dalad Amadeis, Mem Hamadeis. It was a few blocks ago. Yeah, Mem Hamadeis, sorry. So why didn't you bring up this particular aspect of the Machlokes when we had this original discussion between Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda and the Rabbanon? So the Gemara says, V'chitema, Hadvila Mitarzinan Hachi, Epoch Rabbanon with Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, with Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanon. So maybe you'll say, okay, the truth is there's an easier way to reconcile these discussions and these contradictions by simply flipping the Shitos. You can't do that, I'll tell you why. Imkain, we'll say first white line, Imkain Gido Upislo Man Katanila. We'll say if that's the case, that we're going to start flipping the Shitos, then who is the author of our Mishnah? I'll tell you why. But remember again, our Mishnah is a very specific case. What's our Mishnah's case? I have a tree planted that was planted for original permitted purposes. Then what happens? Gido pislo, I prune it or I trim it. So we'll say, what does the Mishnah say? Anything which grows from that point in on will be prohibited. The Mashmos, of course, is what's the status of the Ikra of the Jew, what's the status of the primary tree? It's permitted. So we'll say, so now the Gemara asks, well, one second, whose opinion is that? So the Gemara says, Imkein Gido Pislo Man Katani Lo, Lo Rabbanav, Lo Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. We'll say, second wide line, Memchesem Dalef. Based on what you just said, the Mishnah reflects no one's view. How so? I Rabbanon, Belo Gido Upislo, Namito Sefes Asura. So the Gemara says, according to what you just said, according to the Rabbanon, even without trimming or pruning, ultimately, again, the additional growth should be also why Rabbo say, because how did we just set up the Rabbanon? The Rabbanon said that Hamishtachav Elilon, if you bow down to a tree, so again, the Iker tree remains permitted, but anything that grows after that will be prohibited, even without pruning it. You don't need a Maisa. So according to Rabbanon, I don't need to go ahead and prune it and trim it in order for the Tosefes to become Aser. I Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda, and if you want to say it affects the Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda, bless you. Iker Elon Nami Aser. He holds that what? That if you take a tree, even if the tree was originally planted for permitted purposes, and you bow down to that tree, what happens to that tree? What happens? The whole thing becomes Aser. Not just the Tosefes, but the Iker Elon as well. So it turns out that according to the way you interpreted the Machlokes between Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda and the Rabbanon, the Mishnah reflects neither of their opinions. To which the Gemara says, no, don't worry. The truth is, we can interpret the Mishnah both either reflecting the view of the Rabbanon or reflecting the view of Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda. How so? Ki kam Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda below Gido Upislo, Iker Ilan Aser, Bistama. Aval Gido Upislo Gali Adaite, Dibito Sefta Nechale, Be'ikar lo nechale. Rabbi said, listen to this. So the Gemara says the Mishnah can reflect the view of Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda. Rabbi said, remember again, what did we say? What's the sheet of Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda? That if you go over and you bow down to a tree, so we'll say, what happens to the tree? What happens? The tree becomes Aval Dezara. Mamish, the Iker, and obviously the Tosefes. When do we say that Rabbi Yossi holds that way? That's Dafka in a case where you did not prune and you did not trim. Because Rabbi Yossi, in a case where you didn't prune, you didn't trim, we're called bistama. Bistama, Rabbi Yossi, we assume that if a person bows down to a tree, what's his intention? The entire tree. But if you're going out of your way to prune and to trim, then what? Even Rabbi Yossi will agree that your intention is on the Tosefes. Your intention ultimately, again, is for that which is going to grow, ultimately, again, from this point forward. So when you're Megalit Das, that your intention is for the Tosefes, then even Rabbi Yossi will agree that only the additional part becomes part of the Avodah Zarah, but the Iker tree remains permitted. Gali Adaite Dibitosefes Nechale. Well, so the fact that ultimately, again, he is beginning the Avodah Zarah identity of this tree with an act of pruning. And remember, he's pruning and trimming for the sake of Avodah Zarah. That's how this is happening over here. He's doing it for the sake of Avodah Zarah. Well, so he's showing that Davka, I want the Tosefes for Avodah Zarah, but not the Iker for Avodah Zarah. Or you can reflect the view of the Rabbanon. How so? Gido pislo shrichale. So we'll say, listen to this. I need the case of Gido pislo. Why? Sakadai tchamila kevan da avalei maise begufe. Iker ilan nami list. So we'll say, listen to this. According to the Rabbanon, remember, according to the Rabbanon hold, at least the way we established it, is that even if a person stomp bows down to a tree without pruning and without trimming, that the Tosefes becomes Aser. So why did the Rabbanon need the case of the Mishnah of the pruning and the trimming? So we'll say, this is amazing, because this case is a Chiddush. I would have thought, according to the Rabbanon, that in the case of pruning or trimming, or what Rabbanon say, where you are actively manipulating the actual tree itself. I would have thought that in that case, what do we say? That the whole tree becomes aser. Kamash malan though, kamash on that, even in the case of pruning or trimming, where you're actively manipulating the goof of the tree, the Rabbanan will always hold that halacha lemaisa, only the growth is the additional growth will be aser, but the ikar of the tree remains permitted. Rabbi said, how do we pass in halacha lemaisa? In other words, what do we do with this? What do we do with this? So the Gemara says, listen to this. Shulchan Aruch says, this is in Yardea, Hilchos Avodas Kochavim, Simen Kuf Mem He Sif Vav. Ilan, Shenatu Mitrila Shehe Neva. So we'll say if a tree was originally planted for Avodah Zarah purposes, for the purpose of being worshipped, so Aser Banda. We'll say that's the easy case. We call that an Asherah. That's called an Asherah, right? An Asherah is a tree that was planted. Gil Shkoyach, excellent. I don't know if you coughed or said Asherah, but it says sound like Asherah. It was good enough to me. You sneeze. All right, good. All right, so it says something like this. So we'll say, so again, if you have a tree that you planted purposely, initially, for the purpose of Avodah Zarah, we'll say that is called an Asherah Aser Banda. That's the easy case. Haya ilan natua v'gido. Case number two is, you planted a tree. Now in this case, again, this is our Mishnah. The tree was planted for stamp purposes. It's a tree. And then what? You did a maisa for the purpose of Avodah Zarah. You did a maisa, so you pruned it, right? You pruned it, or you trimmed it for the sake of Avodah Kochavim. Afilu hivrich v'herkiv begufo she'ilon. Even if you grafted it, imam, like we saw, Shmuel said, even did something with the goof of the ilon. V'hotzi srigim, and vines, meaning additional shoots grow from it. Kori says sasrigim theim asrabana. You cut off the shoots because they're asrabana. Ushar ha'ilan mutter. And ultimately, again, the rest of the tree is mutter. So we'll say that is how we paskin halach lemaisa. So we paskin that when you have a tree that was planted for permitted purposes and you subsequently, so we'll say, remember again, going back, we paskin like the Rabbanon. We say that if you had a tree that was planted for non Avodah Zarah purposes, Hamishtachav el Ilan, you bow down to it, that does not do anything to the tree. The tree remains perfectly permitted. The only time you can take a permitted tree and transform it into an Avodah Zarah tree is when? Is if you do something with the tree, if you prune it, or you're trimming it for the sake of Avodah Zarah, then that could transform the tree into Avodah Zarah. But even then, what you transform into Avodah Zarah, only the new growth. Right? The old growth, what we call the ikar of the tree, will still remain permitted. So let's go back to Mishnah. Ezo Asherah. And we'll say, what is an Asherah? Now we'll discuss, we just said what's an Asherah, but now we're going to do the Mishnah saying, what's an Asherah tree? Ezo Asherah, kol sheish tachtav, let's go, Chavin. Any tree that has idolatry underneath it is called an Asherah tree. Reb Shimon says, kol sheovdin osa. Reb Shimon says, no, the definition of an Asherah tree is any tree which is worshipped. Any tree which is worshipped, that's an Asherah tree. Umaisa betzidon. So I'll say the Mishnah tells a story. Right, there was an episode. Maisa betzidon, be ilon shayu ovdin osa, that there was a tree that they were worshipping. Umatu tachtav gal. They found a pile of stones underneath the tree. Amrin Reb Shimon says, Badku es hagal hazeh. So he says, check underneath, check what's underneath this pile. Badku umatsu bo tzura. So they unearthed the pile, and they saw either that there was an image under the pile, or that there were images on the stone in the pile. Amr lahan, so Reb Shimon said, Hoil ulutsura hein ovdin. So Reb Shimon says, in this kind of case, it's clear that what are they worshipping, Rabbo say? They're not worshipping the tree, but rather they're worshipping the image underneath the tree. So nat yu lahan asa'ilan, just simply remove the pile, ultimately again, and the tree becomes permitted. Says the Gemara, Ezu Asherah, why does this Mishnah ask you what's an Asherah? We just learned in the previous Mishnah, V'ha'anan, Shalosh Asheros Tanan. Both in the previous Mishnah, we just spoke about that, what? There are three different categories of Asheros. Hachikamer, this is what it means to say. Shtaynu Divrei Akol, V'achas Machlok Zerushin Rabbanon. There are two categories of Asherah that everybody agrees on, but there is one category of Asherah which is subject to a dispute between Reb Shimon and the Rabbanon. Ezo hi Asherah shenechluku bar Reb Shimon v'Chacham. And Rabbos say, what is the Asherah, ultimately, again, that Reb Shimon and the Rabbanon argue about? Right, and so I will say the machlokes case is the case of where there is an idol underneath the tree. So we'll say the fundamental machlokis is Reb Shimon. So the Rabbanan say if there is an idol underneath the tree, that means of course the idol is avodah zarah. But what? The tree is also avodah zarah. Reb Shimon says no. The only time the tree is avodah zarah is if you know what? Is if you know with certainty that they're worshipping the tree. But if there's just an avodah zarah under it, then again Rabbanan says we'll see. Even according to Reb Shimon, as long as the avodah zarah is underneath the tree and quote unquote benefiting from the tree will become asur as well. But once you remove the avodah zarah, the tree is not assumed to be avodah zarah as well. Ezu ashera stam. So we'll say what is the case of stam ashera? So just you should know. All right. We'll see the halacha in just a moment. So the Gemara says, "Ezu Asherah Stam." Rabbi will say, "What is the case of Stam Asherah?" Or what the Gemara really seems to be asking over here is as follows, which is, so look at Rashi. "Ezu Asherah Stam." Lava tiruzi demastisin koy ala milsa bapi nafshi kamar tamuda de pligi bamarai. "Ezu Asherah Stam." Ilan shelo hovrar lanu shi Asherah be ezu simen nikir imi Asherah mla. So we'll say this is an independent discussion. Stam. Let's say you just want to know, like, what are the telltale signs that your tree may be an Asherah tree, right? In other words, if you want to see if your tree is off the derech, you know what are the telltale signs that your Asherah may be having spiritual, that your tree may be having spiritual problems? How do you know if you have an at risk tree? That's really the shayla. How do you know if your tree is at risk? Says the Gemara. The Gemara says as follows: Amarav kol shekomrim yobshin tachta. What's that? If you see a bunch of priests sitting underneath your tree, then chances are you've gotten Asherah. Right? So, kol shekomra yoshen tachtel, vein tomim peroseh. And what's that? So, any tree, now remember again, all kidding aside, any tree which you see that there are priests, avodah zarah priests, sit under it, and they don't eat the fruit. So we'll say, if you see that dafka not eating the fruit, so that's indicative that what? That they hold this tree is like lahavdil hekdish. Lahavdil hekdish. Right? So therefore, again, they're not partaking of this tree that belongs to their idol, because ultimately, again, it's hekdish. Ushmul amashmul says, no. Afilu hani tamli be naftzi. You know, even, it's sarfi, excuse me. Even if they say these dates, they're sitting under a date tree, and they say these dates are for the avodah zarah lebei natzrafi. Rabbi say natzrafi was the avodah zarah. So aser the ramu because Rabbi say what happens. So Rabbi say see what Shmuel is coming along and saying as follows. Rav said that the telltale sign of an asherah tree is if the priests sit under it and they dafka don't eat the tree. Don't eat the fruit. Right? Don't eat the fruit. Shmuel says no. Even if they consume the fruit, but they only consume the fruit for religious practices and rites. For example, if they say the dates of this tree should be for Beinatrafi, Asr, because they will say what happens? Tirami Beishikra Vishasi Le Biom Idan. Because they will say it was common among the idolaters that what would they do? They remember again, beer was often made from dates, date beer. So what would they do? And they had the dates of an Asherah tree, they would use the dates to make beer, but that beer was only consumed on their Yom Tov. So we'll say that's also a telltale sign of an Asherah. Amra Meimar, Meimar said, Amrli Sabi de Pompadisa Hilchasa Kishmuel. So Meimar said that the elders of Pompadisa told me that the halacha indeed follows Shmuel. That even if they consume the dates of the tree, nevertheless, what? Nevertheless, halacha lemaisa, as long as it's only consumed in the context of religious rites and rituals, that tree will still be considered to be an Asherah tree. So we'll say, sadly, paskin the machlokes in Reb Shimon and the Rabbanon. So the Shulchan Aruch says as follows. Shulchan Aruch says, Ilan shema amidin tachta vavodas kochavim. If you have a tree and underneath the tree is an idol, calls manchi tacht of asrabano. As long as the idol is underneath the tree, so the tree will be asrabano. Not lami tacht of. However, again, if the tree is removed from underneath the idol, hare ze mutter. Right? Ultimately, again, so the tree becomes mutter. Nipnei she'ein ha'ilan atzvonava. So we'll say, so again, in general, we assume that when there is an idol underneath the tree, it is the idol that is the avodah zarah and not the tree. Obviously, if we see people worshipping the tree, then it's avodah zarah. But assuming we don't see that, we assume it's the idol that's being worshipped, not the tree itself. Good. Rabbi Simon Ches Amadeus. Oh, Yachmil, I found it. Give this back to me. Just thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. So it says the Mishnah. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Yachmil. Lo yeshev bitzila. So let's listen to this. Going on in the Asherah tree. You shouldn't sit underneath the shade of an Asherah tree. Okay. Then Yashav Tar. Now we're going to discuss exactly what the meaning of this statement is. But if you sat in the shade of the Asherah tree, you are Tar. Velo Yavar Tachtel. But yet, you shouldn't pass underneath the Asherah tree. Vimavar Tameh. And if you went ahead and you did pass underneath the shade of the Asherah tree, you are tummy. Now, obviously, the Mishnah just seemingly made two contradictory statements, right? Because first it says, I can't sit under the shade, then if I did, right? And if I did, I shouldn't, but if I did, I'm tar. But yet, if I pass, so again, we'll discuss what this means in just a moment. So we'll say, well, take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, this shade that we permit you to sit under, Rabosai, is not sitting underneath the actual shade of the branches. Actually, what we're going to see is this is called tzel tzila, the extended shadow of the tree. Remember, again, the shadow of the tree, depending on the position of the sun, could extend beyond the actual overhang of its branches. So at the shadow could extend beyond the canopy of the tree. Thank you. So therefore, the Mishnah is telling me over here, you shouldn't sit underneath the shadow of the tree, or you should say it differently. You shouldn't sit in the shadow of the tree, even if you are not under the canopy of the tree. Thank you. However, again, if you did sit in the shadow, but not on the canopy, you are tahor. However, again, you shouldn't pass underneath the canopy of the tree, and if you did so, you are tummy. I'm about to say, the reason you're going to be tummy, we're going to see, is like Tumas Oel. Haisa gozelas es harabim. So we'll say, if halacha lemaisa, let's say, this is an interesting case. Let's say you have an asherah tree, I'm about to say, which overhangs the Rosh Hasharabim. So what's the halacha? Va'avar tachtel, and somebody was walking through the Rosh Hasharabim, but passed underneath the tree. Ultimately, the individual will be tahor. So says the Gemara, let's analyze this Mishnah. Lo yeshe b'tzila, you shouldn't sit in its shadow or in its shade. Pshita, that's obvious. Amura bar bachana amra b'yochanan, lo nitzecha ela l'tzel tzila. So I'll say, now the Mishnah, tzel tzila, I'll say, means literally the shadow of the shadow, which means, again, the extension of the shadow that extends beyond the actual canopy of the tree. Ideally, Rabosai, you shouldn't even sit in the shadow of the Asherah tree. Michlal, debetzel kamasa, and Rabosai, what this sounds like is that if you went ahead and you sat, Rabosai, debetzel kamasa literally means the shadow cast by the height of the tree, that ultimately, again, they say, Michlal, debetzel kamasa, im yashav tamei, to which the Gemara says, lo. No, even if you sat, Rabbi say, in the extended shadow cast by the height of the tree, you'll also be tar. What it teaches me is that even in the shadow of the shadow, you should not sit. So Rabbi say, what the Mishnah is really teaching me is that what? Is that a person really has to avoid any level of hana, but even if it's not real hana. I was about to say, in this case over here, I'm standing in the extension of the shadow, which means I'm not even in the canopy of the tree. I'm benefiting from the extended shadow, whether it's the extended shadow of the height or the extended shadow of the canopy. I still can't get any kind of benefit from that. But if, let's say, I did sit underneath the shadow of, right, the extended shadow of the canopy, right, extended shadow of the canopy or of the extended height, I'll be tar, pshita. Comes to you, also even the extended shadow cast by the height of the tree. Does that tell me that even the shadow of the shadow I can't sit? Lo. So bottom line, what the Mishnah is teaching me is as follows. I will say, you can't sit. Bottom line is you can't sit in the shadow of the Asherah tree, even if what? I will say, even if you're not under the what? If you're not under the canopy. Right? Now, again, now the idea over here is, because you're supposed to remember, again, the act of sitting in the shadow of the Asherah tree is Hana. So therefore, it's going to be us. So you shouldn't do it. If you did it, you're tar. Now, I will say, as we're going to see in just a moment, if you sit underneath the canopy, it's Mamish Tame Tumas Ohel. So if you sit in the shadow of the shadow, which Rabbi Osei means, that meaning I'm not under the canopy, but I'm still sitting in the shadow, so you shouldn't do it because it's still benefiting somewhat from the Asherah tree, so you should avoid that. But if you did sit there, you're tar. Why are you tar, Rabbi Osei? Because since you're not underneath the canopy itself, there's no Tumas Ohel. Says the Gemara, "V'lo ya'avar tachtevim avar tamei." Now remember again, what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said that if you went ahead and "V'lo ya'avar tachtel," if you passed, you should not pass underneath the canopy of the tree of the Asherah. And if you did pass underneath the canopy of the Asherah, you will be tamei. My time up. I will say now, why is that? Why do you become Tameh if you pass underneath the canopy of the tree? Or as Rabbi said, this is mamish like, this is like Tumas Ohel. So it says the Gemara, I'll tell you why. Because Rabbi said, it is inevitable that underneath the canopy of the Asherah, there is Avodah Zarah. There's going to be idolatry there. Whether there's an actual idol, or whether there is Avodah Zarah buried underneath the tree, there is always Avodah Zarah, there's always actual idolatry in proximity to the tree, proximity to an Asherah. Money. Rabbi Yossi ben Beseira, this is a fact. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Yisanyo, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Omer, Menayim letakrovas Avodah Zarah, Meshem and Tami ba'ohel, because Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says, how do I know that Avodah Zarah is Matayim ba'ohel? Rabbi Yossi, literally, if you're under the same roof with idolatry, with Avodah Zarah, that what? That Avodah Zarah transmits Tumah. Transmits Tumah to anyone else who's underneath the same roof. Shenemar, Vayitzmedu Labal Pa'or, Vayochlu Zivchei Mesim. That literally, again, they worshipped the Baal Pa'or, and they ate Zivchei Mesim. Ma Mes, Metami Bo. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see that the Torah compares Avodah Zarah to a corpse. Ma Mes, Metami Bo. We'll say, just like a corpse is Metami Tumah. So if you're under the same roof as a corpse, when it becomes Tameh, Af takrovas avodas kochav and metame ba'ohel. So to Rabbi say what? Avodah Zarah is also metame ba'ohel. Therefore, again, the Mishnah says that if you pass underneath the canopy of the Asherah, you will become tameh. You will become tameh. Rabbi say, obviously, this tumah is not biblical. Obviously, this is rabbinic tumah. But nevertheless, again, the Rabbanon were gozer, then ultimately, again, one becomes tameh as a result of walking underneath the Asherah tree. Haisa gozelas es harabim vavar tachta. So I'll say, this is another interesting case. So says the Gemara. What's the case here? So haisa gozelas es harabim vavar tachta atar. I'll say, what's the case here? So again, let's say I'm walking Rishas Harabim, and someone's Asherah tree extends over the Rishas Harabim. So what does the Mishnah's lashon of gozelas? It's stealing part of the Rishas Harabim, meaning it's illegally, your trees are not allowed to grow into the Rishas Harabim. So this Asherah tree is growing into the Rishas Harabim. So we'll say, what's the halacha? V'avar tachta, and I passed under it, tahar. I am tahar, says the Gemara. What's going on over there? Yibay lehu. Avar, o over. And we'll say, here what the shayla is. Do we read the Mishnah as avar tachta tahar, or over tachta par? So what's the difference? Avar means what? Past tense. Ex post facto. If you went ahead and you passed underneath the Asherah, you'll be tar. But what? Lechatchila, you shouldn't do it. Or do we read it as over? Which means what Rabbi saying? Lechatchila, you're permitted to go under the tree. So it says, Digmar, Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar, Mishmei Dechizkiah, Amar over. So Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar said, read the Mishnah as over, that even lechatchila, you're permitted to walk under the tree. Rabbi Yochanan Amar im avar. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, read it as if you pass through. Lechatchila, you shouldn't. But if you did, you are still tar. V'lo pligi. And both in reality, they're not arguing. Why? Had the ika dircha achrina, had the leka dircha achrina. Oh, I both say, watch this. What is it hinge on? Is there another path to take or not? Is there another way for me to get to my destination or not? So I'll say, ultimately what? Sisi is saying as follows. If there is another path, then what? Lechatchila, I shouldn't go under the Asherah tree. But if I did go under the Asherah tree, nevertheless, what? I'm still going to be tar. But if there is no other path, then even lechatchila, I am permitted to pass underneath the Asherah tree. I will say, bottom line is what? Bottom line, the result is the same, which is, I'm going to be tar, right? I will not become tameh. The shayla is, lechatchila, can I do this or not? So lechatchila, if there's another path, don't do it. But lamaisa, if there is no other path, then lechatchila, I can do it. Listen to this, my son. So Sheshus was once walking with his attendant. He said, Kimatis lahasam. So apparently, again, there was a place in Rosh Sarabim where everyone knew there was an Asherah overhanging. So Sheshus says to his attendant, listen, do me a favor. When we get to that spot where there is the Asherah overhang, Arihitani, let's help me run past it quickly. Right? Help me run past it quickly. Help me run. Now, obviously, he's passing underneath the Asherah. What he's saying is, help me pass through it quickly. Let me run. So it says, what's the case here? If there's no other path, so Rav Sheshes, if there's another path, why do you have to? What, if there is not another path, excuse me, there's the only way to go, then what? What's the rush? You don't have to run. It's lechatchila permitted for you to pass underneath this Asherah overhang. If there is another path, then what? Ki amar arihitani mishari. Let's say, if lemaisa, again, there is another path, then what is running through it? Right? It's like, I gotta taste lashon hara very quickly. Gotta taste lashon hara very quickly. Right, let me get this out. Let's say, if it's usher, it's usher. What does it make a difference if you do it slowly or you do it, or you do it quickly? So if there's another path, what is running through it make a difference? The edikah, listen to this. The olam deleka derkachrino. In reality, they will say the case of Rav Sheshes was, there was no other path. And therefore, again, what? Lechatchila, he was permitted to walk under the Ashera. So why did he rush? The Adam chashev shiny. See, I will say, listen to this. An Adam Chashev, important person, people look at what he does. People look at how he conducts himself. Therefore, what I will say? Therefore, in this case over here, Sheshes was concerned that people would see him walking underneath the Asherah tree. So I will say, you know, it's an amazing thing. People draw their conclusions based on what they perceive they see. So if people see Rav Sheshes walking underneath the Asherah tree, what conclusion could they glean from that? So we'll say, they can glean, it's mutter. Now, the conclusion they can glean from that, we'll say, is no matter what the circumstances, there is another path, there isn't another path, you could always walk under an Asherah tree which overhangs the Rosh Hashanah, when in fact, that is an incorrect conclusion. The only time you could walk lechatchila underneath the Asherah tree is when there is no other path. Now, obviously, they don't know whether Rav Sheshes has another path or doesn't have another path. So Rav Sheshes, again, out of concern that people will glean conclusions from his actions. Not that, Rabbi Osai, but he is a great person walking underneath an Asherah. So even though for him it's permitted underneath these circumstances, he just wants to hurry through it as quickly as possible. Good, Rabbi Osai, one more Mishnah. Zorin tachta yirakos b'mosag yishamim. Listen to this, Rabbi Osai. So now let's say, again, I have an Asherah tree. I mean, I don't have an Asherah tree. There is an Asherah tree. But let's say this Asherah tree is right next to my property, and I want to plant things underneath the area of the Asherah tree. So the Mishnah says, you could plant underneath the Asherah tree, yirakos b'mos ha-gishamim. I could plant vegetables during the winter. Why, Rabbi Osei? Why? Avalo b'mos ha-gishamim, but not during the summer. Why, Rabbi Osei? Because during the winter, the shade provided by the tree is detrimental. During the summer, the shade provided by the tree is beneficial. So therefore, during the winter, I could plant because I'm not benefiting from the Asherah. During the summer, I can't plant because I'm benefiting from the Asherah. V'acharizin, Rabbi Osei, charizin is literally lettuce. Lettuce, lo b'mosachan, lo b'mosachishamim. You can't plant it underneath the Asherah tree, neither during the summer nor during the winter. Apparently, again, lettuce always benefits from the shade. Therefore, you can't plant it underneath the Asherah. B'yosi Omer, af lo yirakas b'mosachishamim. Rabbi Osei says, you can't even plant vegetables during the winter. I remember again, the Tanakhama said, the Rabbanon said, you can't plant vegetables during the winter. Why? Because during the winter, the shade is actually harmful. It's actually harmful. So I'm not only benefiting from the Asherah, I'm actually getting damaged by the Asherah. Rabbi Yossi says, no, even during the winter, you can't plant the vegetables. Why? Because also the problem is the leaves fall down on the growth, on the vegetables. And I will say fertilizer. So even though the shade might be detrimental, the falling leaves ultimately act as fertilizer and therefore again benefit the growth. Says the Gemara Lememra, the Rabbi Yossi Savra Zev is a Gorimos. And I will say, now apparently what Rabbi Yossi is saying is as follows. Even though again it's the soil that causes the soil that causes the vegetables to grow, and the soil is permitted, the fact that the Asherah contributes fertilizer in the form of what? In the form of its leaves, the Bosa is a zeh v'zeh goreim. Both are causing the growth of the vegetables. The permitted soil, as well as the prohibited fertilizer, right? The leaves of the Asherah. So the Gemara says, I guess you're telling me that Rabbi Yossi holds, zeh v'zeh goreim aser. That Rabbi Yossi, when you have two things that cause the final result, and one of those two things is a prohibited item, that the result, therefore, is going to be aser. Rashi says over here, zeh v'zeh, nevi'a de aser v'karka olam de'heter garmen li'yaka she'gadlu. We'll say, in this case of the Mishnah, what? It is the prohibited leaves and the permitted soil that is causing the vegetables to grow. Yet Rabbi Yossi says it will be aser. V'rabbanan amri zeh v'zeh gori mutter. Yet the Rabbanan apparently hold that what? Zeh v'zeh gori will say that when you have two causes, right, in this, right, the Rabbanan says zeh v'zeh gori is mutter. That's the case of the Mishnah, because the Rabbanan says you have the soil. We'll say, remember again, the Rabbanan aren't arguing on the Metzias. According to the Rabbanan, Rabbanan says, what else happens during the winter? What happens during the winter? The leaves fall. And do act, ultimately, again, as fertilizer. The Rabbanan aren't arguing with that. They can't argue with that fact. But say, that's a
the right word. It's an agricultural reality. I'm just saying it's a fact. It's a metzias. But yet, apparently, the Rabbanon holds zev zegorim is mutter. The Rabbanon say, really, we look at the soil not as much as the leaves. So the Gemara says, 1 second. So we'll say, the Gemara is suggesting over here that the machlokas in Rabbi Yosef and the Rabbanon is actually a fundamental machlokas on zev zegorim. When you have two causative factors, one of them is prohibited, to ultimately, again, is the end result permitted or prohibited? So that Rabbi Yosef says, zev zegorim is aser. Rabbanon says, zev zegorim is mutter. Yet we learned about, say, just the opposite. This non, Rabbi Yosef, say, remember we saw this just a little while ago in the case of what? Where you find an idol, a pestle, an idol that's made of metal. So what do you do with it? Rabbi Yossi Omer, shochek v'zor l'rach. You grind up the metal, and what? You scatter it in the wind. Umatil yam, you throw it into the sea. I will say, so what? Amrulo, afinas ezevel. The Rabbanon say to Rabbi Yossi, you can't do that. Why? Because then the ground up idol will become fertilizer for the fields. V'ne'emar, for lo yidbak biyadcha mu'uma min acherim. And the pasuk says, you shall not get any benefit ultimately from what? From Avodah Zarah. So we'll say, what do you see from here? Rabbi Yossi is allowing you to go ahead and grind up the idol and scatter it, even though it's going to fertilize the field, and there's going to be stuff that grows in the field. And yet what? Rabbi Yossi says, it's mutter. What do you see from the words Rabbi Yossi hold? Zevezegorim is mutter. The Rabbanon say, no, you can't do this. The only thing you could do is you could discard it into the water, but you can't allow it to scatter over the field because it'll act as fertilizer, and the subsequent growth will be aser. The Rabbanon seem to hold that watch, Rabbi Osai. Zev zegorim is aser. So a contradiction. Kasha dirabbanon. Kasha dirabbiosi. Rabbi Osai, contradictory shitos. Bishlam with Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi Lokasha. So we'll say, I can resolve the contradiction. Rabbi Yossi, how so? We'll say, first wide line, then chesam of days, hasam de ka'azel li'ibud matir, hacha de lo ka'azel li'ibud aser. So we'll say, there's a difference in the cases, I will say. In the case of the idol, the idol is mamish totally being destroyed. So in that case of the idol is being destroyed, Rabbi Yossi doesn't see the idol dust as anything significant. And therefore, he doesn't see that as a zeh v'zeh goreim aser. On the other hand, we'll say, but in this case over here, where the tree is still in existence, the leaves are falling down, he sees the leaves as an active ingredient in the subsequent growth in the vegetables that are growing below. Ela dirabbanon, adirabbanon kashya. Rabbi say ultimately again, but the Rabbanon Shitos, Rabbanon are contradicting themselves. Do they hold Zev Zegorim Aser, Zev Zegorim Mutter? Which one is it? To which the Gemara says, Epoch. The truth is, Rabbi say the simplest resolution is, switch the Shitos. If you switch the Shitos, ultimately again, there's no contradiction. Vibay Semelos Epoch. Or the other possibility, ultimately, is that you don't have to switch it. The Gemara says, Lo Sepoch, Rabbi Yossi Kiddishaninon. Because Rabbi Yossi, you could resolve as we just said before. In other words, Rabbi Yossi, you could resolve as we just said, namely what Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi makes a distinction between when the Avodah Zarah is being totally destroyed versus when the Avodah Zarah is intact. If the Avodah Zarah is totally destroyed, then we don't view any kind of subsequent benefits from that Avodah Zarah dust as a Zev Zegorim. Masha'inkin, if the Avodah Zarah is still intact, like in the case of the tree, we do view the leaves as a significant contributor to the subsequent growth. Aye, but what about the Rabbanon? Listen to this. The way to resolve the Rabbanon will say is as follows. Now the Gemara over here quotes a case by Psule HaMukdashim. Well, says, so the case by Psule HaMukdashim, if you look at Rashi just a moment, Rashi says, it's in the case of Drabana Lokashia. Skip down and there are two lines. Well, says, actually it's 2, 4, 6 lines from the bottom of Rashi. Rashi says, Ubudramari bitmura, kabe in margilin bipsule mukdashin, lahavshit derech haragolim, kein mafuach shanufachim, bali mumin, shiniftu shchat ushachtan litzarchan. Well, listen to this. This is talking about a case of an animal that's a psule mukdashin. Well, a psule mukdashin means an animal that was mukdash, it was supposed to be a carbon, but then it developed some mum. So what do you do with this animal? You go out and you redeem it. You give the money to the Beis Hamikdash, that you purchase them, and the animal essentially becomes permitted for regular use. However, even though it becomes permitted for regular use, that animal still retains some level of its original kedusha. How is this manifest? Well, I'm going to tell you an interesting fact. If you slaughter an animal And you, so there are two different ways people would really want animals. Either they would want it for the hide, or they'd want it for the meat. Now, technically, you could use it for both, but here why it makes a distinction. If you wanted an animal for the hide, the way you would flay the animal is, you would hang it up by its feet, and you would go ahead and you would pull the hide down from the feet all the way down to the head. And what they would do is, they would make multiple incisions in the flesh to go ahead and preserve the hide. In other words, we'll say it's an incredible yisod in life. You know, people in life want to have their cake and eat it too. You can't have it. Or for this purpose, people want to have their hide, right, and their steak and eat it too. You can't have both. To get a perfect hide, you have to make multiple cuts in the meat. So essentially, you ruin multiple cuts of the meat, but you get tied. Now, we'll say, now usually this is a calculated decision. Why? Because usually the hide is going to be worth a lot more than the meat. So generally a person is going to say, okay, I'm a vater on the meat to get the hide. We'll say, you can't go ahead and do that by animal that's psulei mukdashin. Why? Because you end up ruining the meat in order to get the hide, and the act of ruining the meat is considered to be a lack of kavod to an animal which was once sacrificial in nature. So we'll say that Mavi comes along and says, it's not a big deal. Why? The Gemara says, Masha mashbiach ba'ar pogim babasar. So the Gemara says, ultimately, again, because at the end of the day, a person is not going to do it, because what they end up saving in the hide, you're going to lose out in the meat. Which we'll say, just an expression by saying that sometimes what you gain on one end, you lose on the other. So I'll just finish up that Rashi. Rashi says, v'sha afa pi sha'or nimkar biyoker, so we'll say, ultimately, again, by psulei mukdashin, you can't flay the animal this way, because you end up really compromising the meat, and that's considered to be disparaging to an animal that was once sacrificial in nature. So we'll say, but one second. At the end of the day, you should let a person do this. Why? Because if a person knows they're going to get the hide out of this, they're willing to pay more money. If they're willing to pay more money, they'll both say, whose pocket does that money go into? To Beis Hamikdash, Hekdash. So you should let the person do this, to which the Gemara says, V'shani Rav Mari, Leka Pseida, Dimasha Mashbiach, B'dimea Or, Pogim B'dimea Basar. But say, Rav Mari says, you don't really end up getting that much more. I'll say why. Because remember, when you preserve the hide, you lose the meat, right? And when you lose the meat, there's a cost to that also. So Rav Mari essentially says, at the end of the day, the amount of money you get for an animal which you get the hide from versus an animal that you could get all of the best cuts of meat from is kind of the same. It's a wash. So we'll say, so therefore, again, what does that have to do with our purposes? Hachinami, masha mashbiach binaveh, pogim bitzel. And we'll say, the Rabbanan say, I'm going to tell you why the leaves of the Asherah acting as fertilizers is not a big deal. Why? It's true. When the leaves fall and fertilize the vegetables, are the vegetables benefiting from the fertilizer? And the answer is yes. But at the same time, the vegetables are being compromised. How, Rabbosai? Through the shade. So ultimately, the benefit you get from the leaves is ultimately negated from the detriment from the shade. So essentially, we'll say the Rabbanan will say that when you're growing vegetables underneath the Asherah tree, it's a wash. It's a wash. You're not really considered to be benefiting from the Asherah, because as much as you're benefiting from the leaves, ultimately, again, there's a detriment from the shade, and therefore, again, the Rabbanan permit the vegetables growing underneath the tree. So we'll say, we'll stop over here. Again, we are going to pick up with this machlokis of Zeh Gorim, ultimately between Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan.